It is deadline day, so a few words on the NHL trading deadline coming your way today, but also a brief recap of the Rasmus. Is it the Rasmus Dahlin game to this point? I mean, Frölunda Dahlin really checked in Vancouver Sunday night. We'll talk about Sabres Canucks and also a little bit on Sabres Flames. That is all ahead coming up on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase coming to you on trade deadline day. It's deadline day. 3 o'clock is the NHL trading deadline, and there has already been one move by the Buffalo Sabres that we'll talk about, and also a couple of games to recap in Western Canada for the Sabres. It will be a brief edition of the show today, though, because it's all going to be outdated pretty quickly here. The deadline is coming up at 3 o'clock, and I expect the Sabres to trade away guys like Colin Miller. I expect them to trade away some other rentals, potentially Vinny Hinostroza, who has been really strong this season for the Sabres. Maybe a Mark Pesek, a Craig Anderson gets thrown into the mix, a lot of these UFAs. If there's something surprising that happens, maybe it's Kyle Okposo, who I've thrown around a couple times, but I'm guessing no. Maybe a Victor Olofsson, who is eligible for arbitration at the end of the season. But I'm guessing we're going to get pretty much the status quo today. The UFAs get dealt. Nothing too stunning. Nothing major. I don't think they're going to go trade for Jacob Chychrun or anything crazy like that. But if they do, then we'll have you covered here on Locked On Sabres. So if you want to check out, I had on our last week, one of our episodes last week, it's labeled as the 5 trades the Sabres should make before the trade deadline. Go check out that episode. I laid out 5 trades the Sabres should make on deadline day. And they weren't all the straightforward ones. A couple of them were I picked out teams for each player. Like for Colin Miller, I had him going to Nashville. They waived their third pair right shot defenseman, Philip Myers, the other day. So there's an opening in Nashville. So go check out that episode if you want some more in-depth on what the Sabres should do at the deadline. But the one trade we do have to talk about at this point is Robert Hägg. Robert Hägg gets sent from the Sabres to the Florida Panthers for a 6th-round pick. And I was kind of surprised at the return on Robert Hägg. He's a good depth defenseman. He's a good puck mover. He's pretty physical. He doesn't get you beat. Now, he doesn't do anything flashy, anything special on the ice. So there's that. But he only fetched a 6th-round pick. Florida just had Aaron Ekblad go on LTIR, long-term injured reserve. So I'm very surprised that they were only able to fetch a 6 because you see the market? Nick DeLaurier went for a 3rd. Nick DeLaurier, 4th liner for the Ducks, former Sabre, tough guy, got traded to Minnesota for a 3rd-round pick, but Robert Hägg only fetched a 6th? Okay, fine, we'll see. Because you know what? Last year, I'll say this. Last year, I thought the defenseman market was going to heat up a little bit. There were some good talent on the market. There were teams that needed defensemen. And Brandon Montour ends up getting sent for a 3rd-round pick, and that was all. So I'm questioning what the defensive market will look like after seeing what Hägg got, but I'd still like to project a 2nd, at least for Colin Miller. Maybe a 2nd plus, but maybe I'm being naive and thinking that the Sabres can get that much for Colin Miller. And for a Mark Pesek, I was thinking like a 3rd, 4th-round pick, but now seeing Hägg's return, maybe it's somewhere further down the depth chart. The Sabres, by the way, are now up to 10 draft picks, 10 draft picks in the 2022 NHL draft, including 3 first-round picks. They are every one of these picks, even the 6th-rounders, they're lottery tickets, every single one of them. You know, they all are very small percentage chances that they'll turn into NHL players. What's a 6th-round pick? Like a 3 to 5% chance that guy will turn into an NHLer, but every pick you get, that's another 5%. That's another 5%. Oh, I got a 4th-rounder. There's another 8%. Oh, I get a 2nd-rounder. There's 20%. 3rd-rounder, there's another 18%. And you just keep stacking those probabilities on top of one another. And eventually, if you have enough draft picks, you get 10 this year, you get 10 next year. I got suddenly I got 20 prospects. 3, 4, 5 of them are going to turn into really good players because you've just had so many, you've had so many swings at it. You've had so many lottery tickets that eventually you're going to hit on them. So all of these do count. The likelihood is that pick for Robert Hag is not going to turn into anything, but in the macro, all of these picks together, you'd like to think that the group of them is going to help the Sabres down the road turn into a year-to-year contender at some point. The Sabres, with back-to-back wins in Calgary and then in Vancouver. We'll go over both of those games when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. First, I want to tell you about Athletic Greens. I've been putting these vitamins in my coffee every single day since they sent them over for us to try it. The shakes are good too. They're really strong. They really help with your vitamin D and your vitamin K. It's vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help you start the day right. The special blend of ingredients helps support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. I'm definitely noticing the energy. Like those other things it is giving you, but you notice the energy day to day. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto like me or paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals. Right now, go to athleticgreens.com/NHL network and you'll get a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily national insurance, nutritional insurance. Jody Biasi back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. A pretty uneventful win for the Sabres in Calgary. It was 0-0 going into overtime. They get the goal from Tage Thompson to win it in overtime. It was their first regular season 1-0 win in overtime in franchise history. As hard as that is to believe, they did have one playoff win 1-0 in overtime. That was the Dave Hannon, Jimmy Hoffa goal against the New Jersey Devils in 4 overtimes in 1995. Tage Thompson gets the empty net winner after Jacob Markstrom completely misplays the puck. A good goal, though, by Thompson, if you rewatch it, because he had to put the puck between his legs and then swoop it around with his stick on a tough angle. He was running out of real estate and he's able to put it home. So the Sabres, after giving up 6 to the Oilers the night before, end up getting the win over the Flames, shutting them out. Dustin Tokarski with 2 incredible saves on the night that really were, I mean, did one of them make SportsCenter top 10? I think they might have. But Tokarski was unbelievable. Thompson with the really good overtime goal. And then they follow it up with another overtime win in Vancouver. Back-to-back wins for the Sabres. They're playing well here. 6 of their last 10. And the Vancouver win was all about Rasmus Dahlin. All about Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, NT Ryder, is it NT Ryder 82 on Twitter? Kevin on Twitter, on Sabres Twitter, he tweeted that Dahlin really checked into Frölunda mode today. And he really did. I mean, the comfort that he had on the ice, finding the open spaces, putting the puck there and then skating to him, the stick handling, just stick handling, weaving in and out of guys, like he's the best player in the world. And that's kind of how he acted when he played at the World Juniors. That's how he played when he played in the SHL. And we haven't seen a lot of that, that super high confidence, like I'm just going to go right in and around you in the NHL. Dahlin has not done a lot of that here. There's been a lot of good passing. There's a lot of good play in his own end, a lot of good, quarterbacking the power play. But those zone entries that he was pulling off against Vancouver last night, ooh, I mean, that is the prospect, the highlights that we were dreaming of when they drafted him. And he's been steadily getting better and better and better this season. And that was kind of all of those skills that he's been working on and all that confidence that he's been building up over the season kind of encapsulated into one game. And he did have the assist on the Jeff Skinner goal. After he pulls it into the zone, he goes all the way around, he puts it out in front, it goes off a man, a little bit of luck, but it finds Skinner, who's able to tuck it home. So he gets a really nice primary assist on one of the goals. And then to get the overtime goal, I mean, he deserved it. I cannot believe he was not the number one star. Bo Horvat was the number one star in that game. Bias much? Vancouver media Rasmus Dahlin was the best player on the ice last night, bar none. And not only did he get that assist to put them up 2-1, but he got the overtime game-winning goal, cutting to the middle, putting Bo Horvat on skates, and cutting to the slot and putting the shot between Thatcher Demko's legs to make it the 3-2 win in overtime for the Sabres. He was unbelievable last night. In fact, really all the kids were great last night. The Flames, the Sabres got run over in the expected goals total. But against Vancouver, the Sabres, a 55.8% expected goals for rate compared to 44.1% for the Canucks. They had 55.5% of the shot attempts, 55.5% Corsi. Scoring chances were 24-15 in favor of the Sabres. They were just the better team on the third of a West Coast trip against Vancouver, a team that's fighting for a playoff berth. I've never been a big Vancouver guy. I don't think they're a very good hockey team. They remind me a lot of the 2008 to 2011 Sabres, where they had, you know, you had your Vanecks, who's like Horvat, and you had your Staffords, who's maybe like Besser. You got guys that are pretty good, but you don't have a franchise center. You don't have a franchise defenseman, and you got a good goalie. Congratulations. You're going to be on the bubble. You're going to be a bubble team every year. That's exactly what Vancouver is. They're a bubble team every year. So I'm not stunned that they're a team that can get run over like that, but the Sabres ran them over last night. And now Vancouver sits 4 points behind Vegas for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. The Sabres are climbing up the standings a little bit. They are now at 52 points in 63 games. They have surpassed Philadelphia. They have surpassed Ottawa. They have surpassed New Jersey. They were already past Montreal, and they're closing in on Detroit. Now, really all this is doing is losing lottery odds, but you know what? We're past that, right? We're past that. I mean, this team's infrastructure, the core, is already built. They don't need Shane Wright. I mean, they could use Shane Wright. No, don't get me wrong. They'd love to have him, but the players that are going to make this team go are already in the system. Owen Power, Dahlin, Peyton Krebs, Dylan Cousins, Alex Tuck. Like, they've already got him in place. Lukanen, Devin Levi. I can keep going on and on. Devin Levi, by the way, is going to the NCAA tournament. Northeastern made the tournament, so we have to wait a little bit on Levi watch. But anyways, like, it's not a huge deal that the Sabres are moving up in the standings. If anything, it shows you that, hey, there's potential for them to be good next year. I'm rooting for them to go on a run here. I think it'd be fun to go into next year having the Sabres had gone on a stretch like this down the stretch of this season. So hope it continues. And we'll see what they add at the NHL trade deadline. We will end things here on Locked On Sabres, because I do want to get more expanded thoughts on our next episode. And not really just, you know, break down everything that's going to be, you know, it's going to be not unlistenable, because we'll have to delete it in 5 hours anyway. But I will encourage you to go back and listen to my five trades the Sabres should make at the NHL trade deadline if you're looking for more on today's deadline. But we'll be back after the deadline to break down everything we saw, everything that happened, everything that didn't happen. And there could be, you know, there could be a thing where, like Olofsson, could there be reports on a team calling on a guy on the Sabres and they don't end up trading him? I'm wondering to see what we get in terms of noise of things that don't happen for the Sabres today on deadline day. So we'll talk to you after all the dust has settled and we know what the Sabres will look like for the rest of the year and what draft capital, prospects, whatever they have added on deadline day. We'll talk about it here on the Locked On Sabres podcast tomorrow. So thanks everybody for listening. Be sure to check out our special Locked On NHL trading deadline episode of Locked On Fantasy Hockey today, with the deadline being just after 3 o'clock. Go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you tomorrow here on Locked On Sabres.